Praise the Lord. This is Elder Mary Ellis, and you're listening to the Queen's Ministry Bible Breakfast Fellowship Study Hour. And we praise God that we have this opportunity to come together and to join with one another in the study of God's Word. Amen. God is good, and He's certainly worthy of our praise. We're going to open up with a word of prayer, and then we're going to jump right into our study of Psalms 27 as a continuation of our lesson series on the Psalms of David. Two of the Psalms of David, because we know David wrote multiple Psalms that we find in our canonized Bible. But we have focused on 34 and 27 because of their similar theme and thoughts of David. And so that's where we're going to pick up today, Psalms 27. But let's open up with a word of prayer. Father, we come on today to give you thanks and praise. We thank you, O Lord our God, for this day. This time, we thank you for being with us. And now, Lord God, as we prepare to share with those that are listening, that you would speak through us, that you will give us clarity of speech and thought, understanding of your word, that you, Lord God, would illuminate the pages, O God, that they will spring forth with a freshness and an anointing that will bless your people. Oh God, whether we're hearing it now or at a later date, oh God, we ask that your power may be experienced by the recipient, that they, Lord God, would come away with a greater understanding of how to face the challenges in their lives, oh God, and to be able to overcome by the power and the aid of the Holy Spirit that resides on the inside, that gives us, oh God, the direction and the guidance that we need. So now bless again, we pray, each one that is listening, and we pray, God, that you continue to lead, God, and direct us in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Psalms 27. And if I'm repeating this, my apologies, is just that we had a break, and so I want everybody to come back to the same page. And so I'm going to start at the very top, give you a brief synopsis of our study of Psalms 27. Psalms 27 is a reminder that believers should have unwavering confidence in God, who is our antidote for fear and loneliness, and our salvation. The psalm is also written by David, is simply entitled A Psalm of David. Scholars do not have an exact date of when this psalm was written. Some do point to the time when David was running for his life from Saul, King Saul. We remember that occasion. And others point to a time when Doeg, the Edomite, who was a servant of Saul, was speaking against David to Saul because of some of the references of people speaking against him. They point to that time. But whatever the time of this writing, it is clearly noted from the beginning of this psalm that the writer David was very familiar and confident in the presence and power of God. Amen, somebody. This psalm reminds us that he had learned to have trust in God and not fear, and to believe no matter what he was facing, God would be with him. As our pastor spoke this morning, as he delivered his word, the illustration he used was a time when he was sharing with his young daughter at an early age, and her illuminated or revelated word that came from her, which was that God is, or that Jesus is always here or there or near, and it is best that we can see him in the dark, that he is seen better in the dark. And there was reference to how over this at that time she was able to see an illustration or illumination of Jesus on a church wall, highlighted by the image shown off of a statue of Jesus, and she recognized that image to be Jesus and said that he's always there, but you see him better in the dark. And this tied in so well to me how David saw God, that he knew God was always there. He knew God was always there. Because you remember, Psalms 34 and 1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. So David had a relationship with God when it was up, down, in, out, no matter what he was facing, good times, bad times, he said, I will bless God. So he knew God's presence was always there, but he also recognized in his dark times, his dark moments, his dark seasons, that he could trust God, even though sometimes he wavered a little bit. He could trust God to be near. And so this was some of the things that we're picking up as we study this psalm of David. And so we too can learn from our study that God offers us his help for today and hope for tomorrow or for our future, and that he will light our pathways. The word of God says he's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. Amen. And that he can deliver us safely. Amen, somebody. If we were all together, I would say high five your neighbor and say to your neighbor, won't he do it? Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. So our first question then for this psalm is, if you recall, we were able to categorize the two psalms into a five-fold category. And we looked at this psalm and we said, which category out of the five would this psalm fall into? And so this psalm could be categorized in the spectrum of triumphant exaltation of the Lord. And I also believe that David was showing forth a confident affirmation of God's truth. And lastly, he had an earnest petition for his help. So I see this psalm falling in all three. And as we go through this psalm, you're going to see that shifting and transitioning from one of the spectrum of worship to the other. You're going to see David declaring or exalting God. You're going to see David affirming his truth. And then you're going to see David petitioning God for his help and assistance. So I see all three being executed in this particular psalm. In verses 1, David declares that the Lord is his what? David declares in verse number 1 that the Lord is his light. That's right. David declares in verse number 1 that the Lord is his light and his salvation, and he need not fear. David said in verse number 1 that the Lord is his light and salvation, and that he need not fear. Question number 3 says, how important is light in our lives? How important is light in our lives? Well, I would venture, or as Bishop is fond of saying, I would argue that light is very important in our lives. Why? Well, light can guide us. Light can even discipline us, control us. What do you mean by that one? Well, just take, for instance, you're traveling on the road. How many times light is what controls or disciplines the drivers or even the pedestrians as you move about so that we all can be safe? So light can guide us. It can discipline us. It can control us. It can light our ways. And get this, saints, it can show us the errors and the mistakes of our lives. That's right. It can point out the sin in our presence. Light is important. It can banish darkness. How? Well, just get in the dark and turn on any kind of light. It don't even have to be the biggest or the brightest. It could just be a flicker, and the light will seem to banish the darkness. I laugh when I say this because recently we had within our neighborhood a blackout. It was just within our neighborhood, but when we went to sleep, everything was working and on. In the middle of the night, as sometimes is the custom, I awoke to go, and it was no light on in the house nor the neighborhood. When I looked outside, it was dark. When I looked through the house, it was dark, and I thought, what happened? But I was able to pick up my phone, grab that was near me, and able to turn the light on the phone and able to see my way to where I needed to go. So light will brighten the darkness. It will banish it sometimes if the light is bright enough or large enough. In the same way, when we see fear, light can help banish the fear, and it helps us have a change of mindset, attitude, and well-being. Scientists have proven that light can help with some of the difficulties with mental health. Light can be a factor in bringing about some sense of wellness and stability. So light is important in our lives. And if you jotted down some of those, you would see and be able to affirm yourself that is the case in your own life, that light is important in the way it helps to overcome the darkness that you might sometimes face. And what brought to mind to me was what Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Oh my God. So the darkness that's around us, Jesus can banish it. He can guide us out of the sinful or darkness of our lives. Why now you see Jesus saying that, how important that is. And then he even says, because you are connected to me, because you are one of my own, one that I have placed my spirit into, you are, that's right, he called us light of the world. Why? So that we can be the light that will draw others to him. So we should be shining brightly so that we can help dispel darkness in places where others are experiencing it. So we should have our lights on. That's it. Amen. Question number 4. Let's move on. What did David say would happen to his enemies and foes? Let me read that one for you. In 27:4, David says, one thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to dwell in the beauty of his temple. Hallelujah. Went down too far. Let me go back up. He says in 3, though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this will I be confident. When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and my foes, they stumble and they fell. Oh, what did David say? What happened to his enemies? He said they will stumble and fall. That the traps they have set against him, they would become entangled by them. The same traps that they had set to trap David, to snare David. David said the enemies will fall by those same traps. Listen, I know many of you are familiar with the story of Esther with her uncle Mordecai and the king's servant Haman, the trap Haman set for Mordecai. Guess who ended up befalling by that same snare? That's right. Haman was hung by the same gallows he set up to capture and to trap Mordecai. So when God is looking out for you, I think we sing this song, when God is with us, he is more than the world with us. When he stands with us, he's more than the world against us. Amen. So David said his enemies will stumble and fall, and the traps that they set, they would be set and they would fall by themselves. Number 5, we see in verse 3 that I read how David says he would respond even if he found himself at war or facing an army. That's right, he said, if I faced an army or I found myself at war, he said, my heart shall not fear. My heart shall not fear, nor faint, or be paralyzed by fear. Ah, no, David said, I will have confidence in God. I will be confident and assured that God is with me and will help me. Now you see how I say this psalm has many of the components of the five spectrum of worship. Here David is affirming confidently God's truth, that God is with us. This is what our pastor said today, that Jesus is always there. Yes, he said, never will I leave you, nor will I what? Forsake you. So we can have confidence that God is there. Amen. Question number six. In the next several verses, 4 through 6, David makes a shift. Here's one of the shifts, and begins to tell of his what with God. Let's read 4 again. It says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple." What? "For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me up high upon a rock." In verse 6 it says, "And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord." Triumphant exhortation of the Lord is found in those verses 4 through 6. So question number 6 says again, in these verses, David makes the shifts and begins to tell of his what with God, his personal relationship with God. He says, "I desire to be with God. I'm seeking God. I want to be in his presence. I want to be in the house of the Lord." That's where the children of Israel felt God's presence was, dwelling in the temple. And David said, "I want to be there." He says, "I want to be able to behold his beauty. I want to inquire of him. I want to be able to talk with him, because I know when I'm in trouble, I can go to him. He's my rock." Come on here, somebody. We all say that in the times of trouble, I can go to him. He will hide me. And this is a descriptive sentence here, or statement, of David being a warrior or a fighter or being in the army, because the pavilion in my study said this was a camp or an area set up for usually the king, surrounded by a patrol day and night, and the enemy would find it hard pressed to get to the king who was out at war, because he would be surrounded by his warriors, his protectors, and they would hide him in the middle of the battlefield. Would be a pavilion or some sort of encampment where the enemy would not be able to get to the leader. And so David is referencing here that God will hide us in his pavilion. In the middle, in the midst of what we're going through, he has encircled us with his presence. How glory to God in his power and his might to keep us in that, so that we can be refreshed and revived and be able to stand strong against what the onslaught is. So he said, in the secret place of his tabernacle, in the secret place of his temple, in the secret place of his sanctuary, we will find safety, because he will hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And you all know, No, we don't have to even go any further, because who do we say is our rock? That's right, Jesus is our rock, and God has placed us on a rock. Hallelujah. That rock is Jesus. He has set us high upon a rock, and we believe today that rock is the Lord our God. So David makes this shift to tell us that he has a personal, intimate relationship. He is in fellowship with God. In other words, he knew God. He didn't know of him like some of us. He didn't know him because mama knew him. He didn't know him because daddy knew him, or grandma and grandpa knew him. He knew the Lord for himself. Amen. And you all know when you have a personal relationship with God, the difference it is in your life between knowing Him and knowing of Him, or having somebody else tell you about Him. Because you can say for yourself, I know that I know that I know that I know what the Lord can do. And that's what David is declaring to us in those verses. In verse question number 7, in verse 4, what does David say is important to him that he desires of the Lord and would seek after? And that David said he would, he desired to dwell in the house of the Lord. He desired to worship God. He desired to see His beauty. He desired to be in God's presence. We say that sometimes. We say, I just can't wait to get to the house of God. I can't wait to get in the middle of the saints. So you just want sometimes to feel that fire. Glory to God. You just want to be able to connect with another so you can praise God together. It makes a difference sometimes when you can get into corporate worship. Oh, the psalmist said, I was glad when it said unto me, come on, let's go into the house of the Lord. And that's what David is saying here. And many of us say that. We proclaim that too. I can't wait till I get to church. You all know that. You've been saying it over the years. And you believe that once you get into the house of God, something is going to happen. Amen. That's for sure. Something is going to happen. And so that's what David is declaring here, that he just wanted to get into the house of the Lord where he can dwell. And dwell means he just didn't want to stay there for a moment. Dwell means get there and encamp, get there and live there. Hallelujah. He wanted to be able to habitate the house of the Lord. Glory to God. Question number 8, in verse 5, how does David say that the Lord will protect and conceal or hide him in the times of trouble? Well, David said he would hide him in the shelter, or in his shelter, under the tent of the Lord, and then he would place him high upon a rock. And we already referenced that rock. We consider that rock to be Jesus. But yet he said, I'll hide you in the shelter. I'll hide you in the pavilion. I'll hide you in the tabernacle. Word of God says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. And that's that same reference, a strong tower. A mighty fortress is our God. And He will hide us, protect us, guard us against the enemies, the onslaught or the attacks of the enemies. He will protect us and keep us safe. Amen. Praise be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Question number 9, in verse 6, what will David do when God takes care of his enemies? I like that. In verse 6, he says, I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises to God. That's what David said. I'm going to make a joyful noise unto the Lord our God. I will praise Him with all of my heart. I will lift Him up. I will offer up the sacrifice of praise. I will rejoice in the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, rejoice in the Lord, O ye people. Shout unto God with a mighty clap of praise. Amen. David said, I'm going to make melody in my heart. That's it. We see in Ephesians 5:19 where Paul exhorts us to sing songs and to make melody unto the Lord in our hearts. That's it. So that's what David is doing. And sometimes you find yourself doing that, humming and singing and praising God. And sometimes you say, oh, you didn't even realize you're doing it. Somebody say, what you're saying? You say, I'm not saying anything. You're just singing unto the Lord. And you're not even singing a song that you may have heard, or that a familiar tune like a hymn or a spiritual song. You might just be singing something over and over in your heart because of the goodness of the Lord, and that song just becomes a refrain, and you just begin to sing it out. It just might be something simple, and God is good. You just might be singing that over and over in your heart, and it's spilling out through your mouth. in a form of praise. And what are you doing? It's just making melody in your heart unto the Lord for his goodness, for his blessings, for his wonderful acts in your life. And again, referencing Ephesians 5:19, where Paul says to do just that, to make melody in our heart, to sing songs, spiritual songs. That's a form of a spiritual song when you just begin to flow in the Spirit, and the Spirit just begin to give you words, and you just begin to sing out unto the Lord our God. That's what David said, I will do. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord, because God's going to take care of my enemies. Can I get an amen, somebody? All right, question number 10. In these verses, David speaks often of the temple or tabernacle. But he could also have been referring to not only the physical building, but what? The heart. That's right. The heart. That's it. What did God say? He said that he was going to write the laws on the heart. That's right. Where does he reside? In our heart. So David could have been referencing his personal temple. Amen. That's our personal temple, where we can worship God, our heart, where we can release glory to God, our praise unto the Lord our God. Because sometimes we can't get to the physical building. Amen. Sometimes we can't get to the saints. Amen. Hallelujah. But that should not stop us from being able to get into the presence of the Lord. Amen. So David could also have been talking about that personal temple. Amen. That place where God dwells in our hearts. Amen. Let's go to question number 11. In the next several verses, David also makes another shift in his Psalms and begins to do what? We're going to stop right there and end it. I'm going to read verse number 7 and answer question number 11. Well, we're going to stop because that is again another shift. And if we go back to question number 1 and how we set what category or spectrum of worship we see in this psalm, here's another shift, and this one is his earnest petition for help. Yes, in this particular psalm, right here in verses 7 to 12, David begins to petition the Lord. Let me read in your hearing verse number 7 so you'll get an idea what I'm talking about. David says in verse 7, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me." Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. He just finished praising God. He just finished saying, when God takes care of my enemies, I'm going to praise him. I'm going to exalt him. I'm going to celebrate him. He just finished saying how good God was, how great the Lord was. And now he finds himself that he needs to praise God, but he's wondering if the Lord is going to help him. He's wondering if the Lord is going to help him. He went from praising God, exalting God, singing praise unto the Lord, to, God, make sure you hear me when I cry. God, make sure you answer me when I call to you. God, have mercy on me. God, hear me when I cry. Listen, that's normal. We go through that sometimes too. We have confidence in the Lord. We exalt and talk about the goodness of the Lord. We say how great he is. We sing praise unto him. But we have moments in our lives where we go, oh my God, I need you, Lord. Please help me. Don't forsake me. Don't leave me. And we cry out unto the Lord. Well, that's where David is right now. We're going to stop right there. In our lesson, that's question number 11. Please jot that down for me. You know I'll be asking next week, but jot down, that's where we're going to stop. And David is saying in verses 7 through 12, he's petitioning God. But in question number 11, it says David makes this shift in this psalm, and he begins to do what? Begins to seek God, begins to pray to God, begins to plead and supplicate unto the Lord his God. So we see now, it's not so much he begins to doubt or fear that God is not going to help him, but he just needs to overcome that moment. We all have it where we just got to push back on what the enemy is trying to rise up and tell us and say, no, I'm going to believe God. And we're going to see that. Yes, we're going to see that as we continue in the study of this song. Alrighty. Thank you all so very, very much for being a part of our Bible Breakfast Fellowship Word today. Thank you for sharing with us and being with us and being a part, because I tell you, in this pandemic season, so many things have happened, but I am so grateful to God for allowing us this opportunity weekly to come together in this manner, and I look forward to it each and every week that we get a chance to say hey and just praise God together. And so with that being said, I want to thank you all again for joining us here at the Queen's Ministry Bible Breakfast Fellowship. And I pray that the Lord would keep you and that the Lord would bless you in a mighty, mighty way.